In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We're back with a totally normal edition of the WIP Afternoon Show. We had a team meeting, and we're here to talk. Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Ike, how are we feeling?
Well, Spike Lee,
mm-hmm.
Some things you just don't expect to see happening. And it can be a good thing. Jackie Baseball, that goes for you too with the Phillies. Some things you don't expect to see happening, and it's a good thing. Holla at you, boy.
Things What's that are,
the
arrow's Phillies?
Pointing up.
Well, they're meeting with Soto.
Maybe.
No. They're going to.
Maybe.
Going to maybe meet with them.
Maybe.
Everything's fine.
Going
right.
to maybe, maybe meet with him.
And this is what you get for all the Bryce nonsense this summer.
Oh, this is what I get?
Karma, baby.
Oh, God.
Oh, I didn't even know what he was talking about.
You know what's happened with...
I just caught on to that.
Truly, the Jack versus Jalen thing has turned the Phillies fan versus the Sixers fan versus the Eagles fan. It's like Jack wants them all separate.
Yeah.
And it's all because you don't like Jalen.
Well, he's my favorite.
Yeah, okay, all right.
He's my favorite.
So we have a big show, as we do every single day. Elliot Shore Parks, because it's Tuesday, will join us at 3 o'clock. Jordan Mailata will join us at 4. At 4:30, you're at your chance to sing for Linkin Park tickets. We have a pair of tickets to give away for Linkin Park August 16th at the Wells Fargo Center. All you have to do is sing one line. Then we have Lane Johnson joining us at 5:30 to talk about tomorrow's Birds at the Half event at Chickies and Pete's to benefit the Travis Mannion Foundation. So it's a big show. But we start off with the friggin' Sixers, who will not just leave me alone. I begged them to leave me alone, and they wouldn't do it. I begged them to just lose that disgraceful game last night in peace, and they wouldn't do it. Mm-mm. So, you know, we mentioned yesterday that I, on Friday night, had hit my breaking point with the Philadelphia 76ers and Joel.
They can go lower.
And, well, here they are. So then they had that game last night where they're up 19 points in the first half. And as it turns out, not only did we hit our breaking point, Ike, with Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers, it seems as if the Philadelphia 76ers themselves hit their breaking point. So this is per Shams Charania at ESPN. He says, amid a 2-11 start that has them in last place in the Eastern Conference, and with their star trio of Joel Embiid, Paul George, and Tyrese Maxey yet to play a game together, the Sixers held a team meeting following Monday night's 106-89 loss to the Heat. The loss was the fourth in a row, sparking veteran guard Kyle Lowry to call for the meeting, a much-needed heart-to-heart and call-to-action and urgency, sources told ESPN. Players and coaches held each other accountable and took fault in the start of the season. Maxey challenged Embiid to be on time to team activities, calling out the 2022-23 league MVP about being late for, quote, everything, and how it impacts the locker room from other players to the coaching staff. Sources briefed on the meeting told ESPN, Maxey and Embiid have a close relationship and a history of holding each other accountable, according to those around the team. Quote, Tyrese loves big fella, but this is the elephant in the room. Players told 76ers coach Nick Nurse they want to be coached harder, and coaches in turn said they want players to practice with purpose and attention to detail.
Ooh,
so,
boy.
What are we doing?
Well, so the team meeting is usually one of two things. Mm-hmm. It's usually the end of the year. Or, you know, the Mets had a team meeting last year that was led by should-be MVP shortstop, Francisco Lindor. So it ended up working for the Mets. It ended up not working for the Phillies last year, who had a team meeting and had
They reluctantly had a team meeting.
Look, here is I'm going to take the stuff about Nick Nurse needing to coach harder and the players needing to practice harder, put that all to the side. Of course they do. They all look like crap. They look like they don't care, so on and so forth. But as you said yesterday, this starts at the top. And the top being the best player on the team, Joel Embiid. And to be honest with you, over the last several years, there have been many people who have said Joel doesn't practice, including my father, doesn't come to practice on time, doesn't show up in shape. And because of his talent and because of my affinity toward Joel Embiid, I put that to the side and said, okay, but he is still our best chance at a championship. I want to see him do it. I believe he can do it. Mm-hmm. It is about time that someone on the team say something about this who is in a position to say something about this. It is easy for us to say Daryl Morey should say something or Nick Nurse can say something. They can't say anything, to be quite honest with you. Yeah. It's not how the NBA works. The only way that this changes or has any opportunity of turning around is if someone on the team can do it. Paul George just got here. The rest of the players aren't good enough. It had to be Tyrese Maxey.
Yeah.
So whether this was at the urging of other players, whether it was at the urging of coaches, Tyrese Maxey did what no one else could do, and I give credit to him for doing that. Mm-hmm. Tyrese Maxey, you know, in the playoffs last year, became the guy against the New York Knicks when mm-hmm. they needed him to be, mm-hmm. and has a good relationship with Embiid. It's unacceptable that this has to be talked to Joel Embiid at this point in his career, at this point in the season, when he said he was coming in where the only thing that mattered was winning, and he looks bad, and he sets a bad example. And I'm glad Tyrese Maxey said something. I'm glad that he spoke up, and I'm glad that it's public, because the only way that he hears any of this and decides to change is to realize that this is not a secret anymore, that he can't hide behind it anymore, that he can't hide behind coaches and general managers who are afraid to say something anymore. And I give all the credit in the world to Tyrese Maxey for trying it. Will it work? I have no idea. But I can tell you what won't work. This. Yeah. What was going on wasn't going to continue to work. So I can't tell you whether I think it'll work or not work, because I don't know what's left in him physically, but I can tell you what was going on couldn't continue.
Yeah, this is a tough day. And it hasn't even gotten, I don't even know how much is that has yet to be unpacked with this whole thing.
Sure.
At some point, somebody's going to do a deep dive into this, what has led up prior to this, the whole summer situation. Like, somebody's going to do their job and go do the homework, and we're going to get a Tim McManus story somewhere, right? like that's what we're going to get at some point. Like, somebody's going to tell us what has brought us to this point where this is going on with Joel Embiid, because as a Joel Embiid supporter, I feel very let down. I feel disappointed.
But probably not surprised.
Not surprised.
Right.
But here's the thing. I feel deflated, because what you're asking or maybe suggesting is that this is going to be some sort of wake-up call. And it's not. It's not. If the past failures haven't been a wake-up call, playing in this city and not living up to expectations and delivering a championship in the way some of those series ended, if those weren't wake-up calls for Joel Embiid, this isn't a wake-up call for Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid runs that organization. They walk on eggshells around Joel Embiid. It reminds me, I can't even say it reminds me exactly what Shaq was like when he started winning in L.A. and he got lazy.
Sure.
Because at least Shaq won and showed you a dominant, how dominant he could be. And he also had an awesome co-star with him.
He had a Hall of Famer next to him.
Yeah, I mean, top one of the five greatest players ever.
Absolutely. Over LeBron. Yep.
Oh, so, yeah.
So we don't even have that benefit.
By the way, not to interrupt, not just a great player, but a great player who was not afraid of letting people know when his co-star wasn't living up to his part of the bargain.
That's the one thing. And people viewed that as a negative for Kobe back then, but not realizing that Kobe had a standard for working hard and being prepared. And he felt like Shaq was never that. He wanted to use the season to get to that point.
Sure.
Now, to Shaq's credit, he delivered in the postseason. Joel Embiid, I'm so disappointed because, quite frankly, Spike, I don't believe Joel Embiid wants it as bad as we want it for him. Doesn't mean he's not a great player. Doesn't mean he doesn't have the great talent. But there's something to it. And I understand the physical ailments that are there. I understand that part of it. Stuff he can't control, injuries. I understand that. But there's something to the mentality and his mindset and approach to playing the game and truly wanting to win a championship and be at his best that I just don't think he has, man. And this is not going to end well. This to me is the beginning of what is going to ultimately be Joel Embiid not being here anymore. Whether it's because the pressure from us on the outside, the scrutiny, he's fed up with it. I didn't like the whole appreciate what I've done for you because quite frankly, and I didn't say it then, but I felt it then and I hinted at it, but he was using Marcus speaking at us as fans. Right? Like he took it out on Marcus and talked about the whole what I've done for the city and I don't deserve this. Part of that message was for fans who feel the same way about Joel Embiid. So he was also saying to fans who are frustrated with him, don't forget about what I've done for you in this city. That didn't lay with me the right way. It just didn't. Doesn't mean he hadn't sacrificed and played through injuries. But dude, you clearly don't get this fan base when you're trying to chastise the fan base and say, be thankful for what I've done for you. No, you be thankful that we have been patient with you your entire career. His entire career, we've been patient with him. The guy didn't play for 2 years, and we waited on him and supported him. We've been patient with him. And for you to come into this season the way that you've come into this season, it makes me believe that fans weren't wrong for feeling the way that they felt about that. Because his teammates feel a certain way. His teammates see the exact thing that's going on that we don't get to see. And they feel a certain way. When I said yesterday that it starts with him, he sets the tone. He's the reason why things are the way that they are. They feel that way too. His teammates feel that way. And this is not good, man. This is not good. I don't believe it's a wake-up call. I don't think it's going to change anything for him. He's gotten everything he's asked for from this city and the organization. Why should he change? The only thing that's going to be left for Joel Embiid to do is pack his bags and say, I'm out. Y'all don't appreciate me, I'm gone. Like, that's the only thing he has left. He ain't landing on the line for the title. He's not going to do it. And this fan base, and rightfully so, aren't going to let up on him because of it.
Well, the shame of that is that he has been through a lot personally.
He has.
The injuries, and I know this is going to set, this is not excuses, this is me giving context to all of it. That is the shame of it, is that he has been through a lot, and I do believe that the fans of this city, while he was going through those things, were supportive.
Yes.
When he went through broken foot, when we drafted him, not
man,
knowing.
Man, you led a charge. You led a portion of his fan base.
And how does that, like, that makes me feel like an idiot. And truthfully, I think part of sports is wanting to believe in the heroes that are there, you know, making them bigger than life. And the things that he went through were life, right? Broken foot number one, broken foot number two, the tragic loss of his brother. Mm-hmm. But by the way, becoming a father and then having your Facebook, all these different things that he did, I think, show resolve battling back from that he needed us for, that we were here for. But then asking, essentially, in this ramp-up period, making the organization lie for him and say that they wanted to put him in the best physical position to be there and have him not be doing that makes everyone, including me, who has supported him over the last several years, feel stupid. Feel stupid. And look, I don't know if he had the absolute right mentality through all of this, his body may have failed him anyway. But we haven't gotten the chance to see that. And the shame of it is that, like, this city is a tough one to figure out for an athlete all the time, because we can be difficult. But I think what it comes down to is, if you try your hardest and you are honest with us, we may not react the right way at the moment, but I think eventually we will have that mutual respect. That's why I think at the end of the day, we had the mutual respect for Jimmy Rollins when he said, you guys are front runners.
Yep.
You know, but at the end of the day, Jimmy Rollins busted his ass most of the time. Mm-hmm. So we were all good with it. Even today, as we look at Donovan, we had our problems with Donovan, but you know what? Donovan was a great player here, brought it when he played, and we look back on it, and I think we can say, hey, look, maybe we weren't fair in the moment. The thing that sucks about Joel is though he was going against the odds, he had everything here to try and make it work, especially now. An organization that spent basically 2 or 3 years working toward this offseason,
yes,
so they could put it all together for him. That didn't trade Tyrese Maxey when they had the opportunity, even though I would have said they should have traded him. You know, all of those things. Who drafted Maxey, drafted McCain, signed Paul George, signed all these role players that are specifically to fit around him. And the only thing that they ask and the only thing that we ask is to give everything that you have, and he's not doing that. And that is the biggest crime. The biggest crime is not losing. The biggest crime is not missing shots when you're supposed to make shots.
Right.
All of those things eventually we can forgive. But the effort and the dishonesty is something that is a lot harder to forgive.
Yep.
So what I would say about how it ends, if you made me bet on it, I would bet on your side. However, because I am the eternal optimist in this situation and have hope and have this much time, is, you know what? They're not trading them this year. And I look at it and I say, hey, look, if there's a 5% chance that Tyrese Maxey looking him in the face and saying, hey, you acting this way makes us worse. If there's a 5% chance of that combined with it being public somehow lights a fire under him, I'm open to the possibility. But to your point about if I had a bet how it ends, well, I would bet it doesn't end well. That would be my bet. Yeah. But my hope is this is probably the difference between where I am and where a lot of people are. I am open to the idea of it changing. I'm open to it. Maybe not a large chance, but there is a chance, I think. And that's sort of where I am with it. It's just like, ultimately, it is sad.
It is. It really is, man.
It's like a
it
sad.
Really is.
It's a sad. It's not one of those things where you see, I'm sorry for talking over. It's not,
no,
one of those
you're
things,
good.
It's not one of those things where you see the article pop up and you're like, oh, teammates calling each other out. Like that. Those things happen all the time. It is this situation with this guy this year that hurts so much.
We never had this.
Yeah.
Like, we never had this. Like, we've had different things. Like, we dealt with the Ben Simmons stuff. Like, we dealt with different things.
Crazy things.
With the team. So, we know all about that. But when the franchise player is being called to the carpet in a team meeting, man, I don't even know how he responds to this. First of all, he said it was no team meeting. So, I don't know. Did he shrug it off?
Oh, did he say that?
I thought somebody asked him.
Yeah, he said, I didn't know we had a team.
Yeah, he said, I didn't know we had a team.
Oh, haha, so funny. He also said that Jimmy Butler is one of his 5 favorite players in the league right after the team meeting.
Yeah.
He's still doing the
That's
Jimmy
good.
Butler.
Yeah, it seems like he got the message.
Well, there's Jack.
Yeah.
You got anything here?
Yeah. Sorry.
Giggles.
Yeah.
Oh, this is, we're meeting with Soto, so this is great. But
yeah.
No, it's just he feels like for the first time, well, maybe not the first time, but I guess especially heightened now, he just feels like he's draining the life out of this team. Like the mopiness, the don't know when he's going to be there, when he's not going to be there. And for the first time, I kind of get the sense that he's close to being out.
See, that's what I'm wondering.
And the whole comments this year kind of felt that way.
Well, can I? I'm sorry for interrupting.
Sorry, that's all right.
If he asks out, I don't want to. He should do whatever makes him happy. End of the day, he's a human, whatever. And I don't want to make a proclamation based on what might happen.
Mm-hmm.
But him asking out at this point, rather than looking inward and saying,
right,
this would be the most inexcusable of everything that he's done.
You know, I agree. Now you're messing with legacy.
Right. Like if at the end of this year, if you give it everything you have, the end of this year, you look around and you say, there's too much baggage. I can accept that. Mm-hmm. But if you do it because of you,
right,
ultimately, that is not an acceptable thing for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I agree. Now you're messing with, like, you're a guy that's coming back, jersey in the rafter. Like, you're one of the greatest. Like, you're one of the greatest to play for the Sixers.
Right.
There's a celebration that comes with that at the end of your career. You know, potential statue. Well, you know it's going to be a statue. I damn sure hope it's bigger than the one Bubba Chuck got over there. But you know it's going to be a statue of him somewhere.
It'll be 3 inches taller.
yes, it's going to be a statue.
Iverson's 5'11". He's 7 feet. So that equates to about three or maybe an inch.
My only point is that he's a guy who's going to get honored.
Yes.
So how you leave does matter.
Mm-hmm.
It does matter.
Yes.
And so you're right. For him to ask out because he doesn't want to face the music, or you feel like it's getting too hot here for you. Yeah, to me, that leaves a stain on his legacy moving forward. Now, I'm not going to say he wouldn't be able to recover from, because we all forgive and forget as time goes on. But it would be a sad case for somebody who we've really been patient with and been behind throughout his entire career.
It's different than Damian Lillard asked out because it was time and he never won there and he gave
and
everything
Portland
he
got
had.
It new. Yes,
he asked out. There's a difference between asking out because you don't think, you got a contract. I don't think anybody should ask out. But there's definitely a difference between asking out because the team failed around you and asking out because it got too hot in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You can't ask out because it got too ugly around you. Yeah. Know?
There's no chance this can rally the troops.
I think it's possible. I don't think it's likely, but I think it's possible.
He can rally the troops.
He can. You know, if he showed
like
up,
if he shows up and plays and he's Joel Embiid, that rallies the troops.
If he comes out against Memphis tomorrow night and has 34-12 and they win and he's blocking shots and then sure, they could all look at each other and go,
yeah, you know? Oh, here he is. He's ready to go. That last night, I swear he looked disinterested last night.
Well, he didn't shoot a free throw.
And that tells you something. Only for the second time in his career did he not shoot a free throw.
Was he in the paint? I feel like he was going foul line to foul line.
He was. It was a lot of that. Yeah. And I don't. Yeah. I can't figure out. He's been bad when he's come back from injury. He's been terrible. Every time he's come back from injury, I've looked at him and go, this guy's cooked. And then 2 weeks later, he looks like he can play. Maybe it's in there. I don't know. So 215-592-9494. Your thoughts on the entire Joel Embiid situation?
Well, we had a lot to get off our chest right there.
Yeah, well.
Still got more.
So what do you think? Can the Eagles win running this much?
Back to them later.
Yeah, later. Your call's next. 215-592-9494. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy.
or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with a totally normal edition of the WIP Afternoon Show. We had a team meeting, and we're here to talk. Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Ike, how are we feeling?
Well, Spike Lee,
mm-hmm.
Some things you just don't expect to see happening. And it can be a good thing. Jackie Baseball, that goes for you too with the Phillies. Some things you don't expect to see happening, and it's a good thing. Holla at you, boy.
Things What's that are,
the
arrow's Phillies?
Pointing up.
Well, they're meeting with Soto.
Maybe.
No. They're going to.
Maybe.
Going to maybe meet with them.
Maybe.
Everything's fine.
Going
right.
to maybe, maybe meet with him.
And this is what you get for all the Bryce nonsense this summer.
Oh, this is what I get?
Karma, baby.
Oh, God.
Oh, I didn't even know what he was talking about.
You know what's happened with...
I just caught on to that.
Truly, the Jack versus Jalen thing has turned the Phillies fan versus the Sixers fan versus the Eagles fan is like Jack wants them all separate.
Yeah.
And it's all because you don't like Jalen.
Well, he's my favorite.
Yeah, okay, all right.
He's my favorite.
So we have a big show, as we do every single day. Elliot Shore Parks, because it's Tuesday, will join us at 3 o'clock. Jordan Mailata will join us at 4. At 4:30, you're at your chance to sing for Linkin Park tickets. We have a pair of tickets to give away for Linkin Park August 16th at the Wells Fargo Center. All you have to do is sing one line. Then we have Lane Johnson joining us at 5:30 to talk about tomorrow's Birds at the Half event at Chickies and Pete's to benefit the Travis Mannion Foundation, so it's a big show. But we start off with the friggin' Sixers, who will not just leave me alone. I begged them to leave me alone, and they wouldn't do it. I begged them to just lose that disgraceful game last night in peace, and they wouldn't do it. So, you know, we mentioned yesterday that I, on Friday night, had hit my breaking point with the Philadelphia 76ers and Joel.
They can go lower.
And, well, here they are. So then they had that game last night where they're up 19 points in the first half. And as it turns out, not only did we hit our breaking point, Ike, with Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers, it seems as if the Philadelphia 76ers themselves hit their breaking point. So this is per Shams Charania at ESPN. He says, amid a 2-11 start that has them in last place in the Eastern Conference, and with their star trio of Joel Embiid, Paul George, and Tyrese Maxey yet to play a game together, the Sixers held a team meeting following Monday night's 106-89 loss to the Heat. The loss was the fourth in a row, sparking veteran guard Kyle Lowry to call for the meeting, a much-needed heart-to-heart and call-to-action and urgency, sources told ESPN. Players and coaches held each other accountable and took fault in the start of the season. Maxey challenged Embiid to be on time to team activities, calling out the 2022-23 league MVP about being late for, quote, everything, and how it impacts the locker room from other players to the coaching staff. Sources briefed on the meeting told ESPN, Maxey and Embiid have a close relationship and a history of holding each other accountable, according to those around the team. Quote, Tyrese loves big fella, but this is the elephant in the room. Players told 76ers coach Nick Nurse they want to be coached harder, and coaches in turn said they want players to practice with purpose and attention to detail.
Ooh,
so,
boy.
What are we doing?
Well, so the team meeting is usually one of two things. Mm-hmm. It's usually the end of the year, or, you know, the Mets had a team meeting last year that was led by should-be MVP shortstop, what's his name?
Francisco
Lindor. So it ended up working for the Mets. It ended up not working for the Phillies last year, who had a team meeting and had one.
They reluctantly had a team meeting.
Reluctantly had a team meeting. Look, here is I'm going to take the stuff about Nick Nurse needing to coach harder and the players needing to practice harder, put that all to the side. Of course they do. They all look like crap. They look like they don't care, so on and so forth. But as you said yesterday, this starts at the top, and the top being the best player on the team, Joel Embiid. And to be honest with you, over the last several years, there have been many people who have said Joel doesn't practice, doesn't, including my father, doesn't come to practice on time, doesn't show up in shape. And because of his talent and because of my affinity toward Joel Embiid, I put that to the side and said, okay, but he is still our best chance at a championship. I want to see him do it. I believe he can do it. Mm-hmm. It is about time that someone on the team say something about this who is in a position to say something about this. It is easy for us to say Daryl Morey should say something or Nick Nurse can say something. They can't say anything, to be quite honest with you. Yeah. It's not how the NBA works. The only way that this changes or has any opportunity of turning around is if someone on the team can do it. Paul George just got here. The rest of the players aren't good enough. It had to be Tyrese Maxey.
Yeah.
So whether this was at the urging of other players, whether it was at the urging of coaches, Tyrese Maxey did what no one else could do, and I give credit to him for doing that. Mm-hmm. Tyrese Maxey, you know, in the playoffs last year, became the guy against the New York Knicks when they needed him to be, and has a good relationship with Embiid. It's unacceptable that this has to be talked to Joel Embiid at this point in his career, at this point in the season, when he said he was coming in where the only thing that mattered was winning, and he looks bad, and he sets a bad example. And I'm glad Tyrese Maxey said something. I'm glad that he spoke up, and I'm glad that it's public, because the only way that he hears any of this and decides to change is to realize that this is not a secret anymore, that he can't hide behind it anymore, that he can't hide behind coaches and general managers who are afraid to say something anymore. And I give all the credit in the world to Tyrese Maxey for trying it. Will it work? I have no idea. But I can tell you what won't work. This. Yeah. What was going on wasn't going to continue to work. So I can't tell you whether I think it'll work or not work, because I don't know what's left in him physically, but I can tell you what was going on couldn't continue.
Yeah, this is a tough day. This is, and it hasn't even gotten, I don't even know how much is that has yet to be unpacked with this whole thing.
Sure.
At some point, somebody's going to do a deep dive into this, what has led up prior to this, the whole summer situation. Like, somebody's going to do their job and go do the homework, and we're going to get a Tim McManus story somewhere, right? like that's what we're going to get at some point. Like, somebody's going to tell us what has brought us to this point where this is going on with Joel Embiid, because as a Joel Embiid supporter, I feel very let down. I feel disappointed.
But probably not surprised.
Not surprised.
Right.
But here's the thing. I feel deflated, because what you're asking or maybe suggesting is that this is going to be some sort of wake-up call. And it's not. It's not. If the past failures haven't been a wake-up call, playing in this city and not living up to expectations and delivering a championship and the way some of those series ended, if those weren't wake-up calls for Joel Embiid, this isn't a wake-up call for Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid runs that organization. They walk on eggshells around Joel Embiid. It reminds me, I can't even say it reminds me exactly what Shaq was like when he started winning in L.A. and he got lazy.
Sure.
Because at least Shaq won and showed you a dominant, how dominant he could be. And he also had an awesome co-star with him.
He had a Hall of Famer next to him.
Yeah, I mean, top one of the five greatest players ever.
Absolutely. Over LeBron. Yep.
Oh, so, yeah.
So we don't even have that benefit.
By the way, not to interrupt, not just a great player, but a great player who was not afraid of letting people know when his co-star wasn't living up to his part of the bargain.
That's the one thing. And people viewed that as a negative for Kobe back then, but not realizing that Kobe had a standard for working hard and being prepared. And he felt like Shaq was never that. He wanted to use the season to get to that point.
Sure.
Now, to Shaq's credit, he delivered in the postseason. Joel Embiid, I'm so disappointed because, quite frankly, Spike, I don't believe Joel Embiid wants it as bad as we want it for him. Doesn't mean he's not a great player. Doesn't mean he doesn't have the great talent. But there's something to it. And I understand the physical ailments that are there. I understand that part of it. Stuff he can't control, injuries. I understand that. But there's something to the mentality and his mindset and approach to playing the game and truly wanting to win a championship and be at his best that I just don't think he has, man. And this is not going to end well. This to me is the beginning of what is going to ultimately be Joel Embiid not being here anymore. Whether it's because the pressure from us on the outside, the scrutiny, he's fed up with it. I didn't like the whole appreciate what I've done for you because quite frankly, and I didn't say it then, but I felt it then and I hinted at it, but he was using Marcus speaking at us as fans. Right? Like he took it out on Marcus and talked about the whole what I've done for the city and I don't deserve this. Part of that message was for fans who feel the same way about Joel Embiid. So he was also saying to fans who are frustrated with him, don't forget about what I've done for you in this city. That didn't lay with me the right way. It just didn't. Doesn't mean he hadn't sacrificed and played through injuries. But dude, you clearly don't get this fan base when you're trying to chastise the fan base and say, be thankful for what I've done for you. No, you be thankful that we have been patient with you your entire career. His entire career, we've been patient with him. The guy didn't play for 2 years, and we waited on him and supported him. We've been patient with him. And for you to come into this season the way that you've come into this season, it makes me believe that fans weren't wrong for feeling the way that they felt about that. Because his teammates feel a certain way. His teammates see the exact thing that's going on that we don't get to see. And they feel a certain way. When I said yesterday that it starts with him, he sets the tone. He's the reason why things are the way that they are. They feel that way too. His teammates feel that way. And this is not good, man. This is not good. I don't believe it's a wake-up call. I don't think it's going to change anything for him. He's gotten everything he's asked for from this city and the organization. Why should he change? The only thing that's going to be left for Joel Embiid to do is pack his bags and say, I'm out. Y'all don't appreciate me, I'm gone. Like, that's the only thing he has left. He ain't landing on the line for the title. He's not going to do it. And this fan base, and rightfully so, aren't going to let up on him because of it.
Well, the shame of that is that he has been through a lot personally.
He has.
The injuries, and I know this is going to set, this is not excuses. This is me giving context to all of it. That is the shame of it, is that he has been through a lot, and I do believe that the fans of this city, while he was going through those things, were supportive.
Yes.
When he went through broken foot, when we drafted him, not
man,
knowing.
Man, you led a charge. You led a portion of his fan base.
And how does that, like, that makes me feel like an idiot. And truthfully, I think part of sports is wanting to believe in the heroes that are there, you know, making them bigger than life. And the things that he went through were life, right? Broken foot number one, broken foot number two, the tragic loss of his brother. Mm-hmm. But by the way, becoming a father and then having your Facebook, all these different things that he did, I think, show resolve battling back from that he needed us for, that we were here for. But then asking, essentially, in this ramp-up period, making the organization lie for him and say that they wanted to put him in the best physical position to be there and have him not be doing that makes everyone, including me, who has supported him over the last several years, feel stupid. Feel stupid. And look, I don't know if he had the absolute right mentality through all of this, his body may have failed him anyway. But we haven't gotten the chance to see that. And the shame of it is that, like, this city is a tough one to figure out for an athlete all the time, because we can be difficult. But I think what it comes down to is, if you try your hardest and you are honest with us, we may not react the right way at the moment, but I think eventually we will have that mutual respect. That's why I think at the end of the day, we had the mutual respect for Jimmy Rollins when he said, you guys are front runners.
Yep.
You know, but at the end of the day, Jimmy Rollins busted his ass most of the time. Mm-hmm. So we were all good with it. Even today, as we look at Donovan, we had our problems with Donovan, but you know what? Donovan was a great player here, brought it when he played, and we look back on it, and I think we can say, hey, look, maybe we weren't fair in the moment. The thing that sucks about Joel is though he was going against the odds, he had everything here to try and make it work, especially now. An organization that spent basically 2 or 3 years working toward this offseason,
yes,
so they could put it all together for him. That didn't trade Tyrese Maxey when they had the opportunity, even though I would have said they should have traded him. You know, all of those things. Who drafted Maxey, drafted McCain, signed Paul George, signed all these role players that are specifically to fit around him. And the only thing that they ask and the only thing that we ask is to give everything that you have, and he's not doing that. And that is the biggest crime. The biggest crime is not losing. The biggest crime is not missing shots when you're supposed to make shots.
Right.
All of those things eventually we can forgive. But the effort and the dishonesty is something that is a lot harder to forgive.
Yep.
So what I would say about how it ends, if you made me bet on it, I would bet on your side. However, because I am the eternal optimist in this situation and have hope and have this much time, is, you know what? They're not trading them this year. And I look at it and I say, hey, look, if there's a 5% chance that Tyrese Maxey looking him in the face and saying, hey, you acting this way makes us worse. If there's a 5% chance of that combined with it being public somehow lights a fire under him, I'm open to the possibility. But to your point about if I had a bet how it ends, well, I would bet it doesn't end well. That would be my bet. Yeah. But my hope is this is probably the difference between where I am and where a lot of people are. I am open to the idea of it changing. I'm open to it. Maybe not a large chance, but there is a chance, I think. And that's sort of where I am with it. It's just like, ultimately, it is sad.
It is. It really is, man.
It's like a
it
sad.
Really is.
It's a sad. It's not one of those things where you see, I'm sorry for talking over. It's not,
no,
one of those
you're
things,
good.
It's not one of those things where you see the article pop up and you're like, oh, teammates calling each other out. Like that. Those things happen all the time. It is this situation with this guy this year that hurts so much.
We never had this.
Yeah.
Like, we never had this. Like, we've had different things. Like, we dealt with the Ben Simmons stuff. Like, we dealt with different things.
Crazy things.
With the team. So, we know all about that. But when the franchise player is being called to the carpet in a team meeting, man, I don't even know how he responds to this. First of all, he said it was no team meeting. So, I don't know. Did he shrug it off?
Oh, did he
I
say
thought
that?
Somebody asked him.
Yeah, he said, I didn't know we had a team meeting.
Yeah, he said, I didn't know we had a team
meeting. Oh, haha, so funny. He also said that Jimmy Butler is one of his 5 favorite players in the league right after the team meeting.
Yeah.
He's still doing the
That's
Jimmy
good.
Butler
thing. Yeah, it seems like he got the message.
Well, there's Jack.
Yeah.
You got anything here?
Yeah. Sorry.
Giggles.
Yeah.
Oh, this is, we're meeting with Soto, so this is great. But
yeah.
No, it's just he feels like for the first time, well, maybe not the first time, but I guess especially heightened now, he just feels like he's draining the life out of this team. Like the mopiness, the don't know when he's going to be there, when he's not going to be there. And for the first time, I kind of get the sense that he's close to being out.
See, that's what I'm wondering.
And the whole comments this year kind of felt that way.
Well, can I? I'm sorry for interrupting.
Sorry, that's all right.
If he asks out, I don't want to. He should do whatever makes him happy. End of the day, he's a human, whatever. And I don't want to make a proclamation based on what might happen.
Mm-hmm.
But him asking out at this point, rather than looking inward and saying,
right,
this would be the most inexcusable of everything that he's done.
You know, I agree. Now you're messing with legacy.
Right. Like if at the end of this year, if you give it everything you have, the end of this year, you look around and you say, there's too much baggage. I can accept that. Mm-hmm. But if you do it because of you,
right,
ultimately, that is not an acceptable thing for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I agree. Now you're messing with, like, you're a guy that's coming back, jersey in the rafter. Like, you're one of the greatest. Like, you're one of the greatest to play for the Sixers.
Right.
There's a celebration that comes with that at the end of your career. You know, potential statue. Well, you know it's going to be a statue. I damn sure hope it's bigger than the one Bubba Chuck got over there. But you know it's going to be a statue of him somewhere.
It'll be 3 inches taller.
yes, it's going to be a statue.
Iverson's 5'11". He's 7 feet. So that equates to about three or maybe an inch.
My only point is that he's a guy who's going to get honored.
Yes.
So how you leave does matter.
Mm-hmm.
It does matter.
Yes.
And so you're right. For him to ask out because he doesn't want to face the music, or you feel like it's getting too hot here for you. Yeah, to me, that leaves a stain on his legacy moving forward. Now, I'm not going to say he wouldn't be able to recover from, because we all forgive and forget as time goes on. But it would be a sad case for somebody who we've really been patient with and been behind throughout his entire career.
It's different than Damian Lillard asked out because it was time and he never won there and he gave
and
everything
Portland
he
got
had.
It new. Yes,
he asked out. There's a difference between asking out because you don't think, you got a contract. I don't think anybody should ask out. But there's definitely a difference between asking out because the team failed around you and asking out because it got too hot in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You can't ask out because it got too ugly around you. Yeah.
There's no chance this can rally the troops.
I think it's possible. I don't think it's likely, but I think it's possible.
He can rally the troops.
He can. You know, if he shows
like
up,
if he shows up and plays and he's Joel Embiid, that rallies the troops.
If he comes out against Memphis tomorrow night and has 34-12 and they win and he's blocking shots and then sure, they could all look at each other and go,
yeah, you know, here he is. He's ready to go. That last night, I swear he looked disinterested last night.
Well, he didn't shoot a free throw.
And that tells you something. Only for the second time in his career did he not shoot a free throw.
Was he in the paint? I feel like he was going foul line to foul line.
He was. It was a lot of that. Yeah. And I don't. Yeah. I can't figure out. He's been bad when he's come back from injury. He's been terrible. Every time he's come back from injury, I've looked at him and go, this guy's cooked. And then 2 weeks later, he looks like he can play. Maybe it's in there. I don't know. So 215-592-9494. Your thoughts on the entire Joel Embiid situation?
Well, we had a lot to get off our chest right there.
Yeah, well.
Still got more.
So what do you think? Can the Eagles win running this much?
Back to them later.
Yeah, later. Your call's next. 215-592-9494. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4.
charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.